Started. Thank you. I hate to break up the fellowship that's going on. It sounds really wonderful, and I love fellowship at church, but we are going to study God's Word now. If you have your Bibles with you, you can open to Romans chapter 4. Verses 13 through 25, and I'm going to read God's word this morning. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into the existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need you. We need you to understand your word, but more than that, Lord, we need to believe your word. We need your Holy Spirit, Lord God. We're desperate people. We know apart from you, we can do nothing. And so we come to your word this morning, and we pray for your Holy Spirit to be present here, to help me to communicate, to help the listeners to hear, so we might hear your voice this morning, Lord God. We believe you want to speak to us this morning about your love and your promise to us so that we might believe it and be your children living in the goodness of your grace. Speak to us this morning, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin with a question, and it's this. Why should you trust someone when they make a promise to you? How do you know when you should trust someone who makes a promise to you? You do it all the time. You take a job. You trust the company that you're going to take that job with, that they'll have the resources to pay you a salary. And in every 2 weeks, you're hoping they will fulfill that obligation to you, that promise that they're going to pay you for the work that you do. Usually that works out, but we all probably have stories where sometimes that doesn't work out. You know, we get married. We make some pretty significant promises there. We trust that our spouse is going to keep their promises. They're trusting us that we're going to keep our promises. And what do we base that trust on? Well, it's based on the character of our spouse and their ability to keep those promises. I have a friend who told me he regularly receives emails which make a claim that if he will give the individual sending them the email his bank account number with $5,000 in the bank account, it will unlock an enormous inheritance that's waiting for him. He's not yet tried it. But how do you know whether to trust a promise or not? We need to consider the character of the individual making the promise and the ability of that person to keep that promise. And every time we're offered a promise, we have to make a decision. Are we going to trust or are we not going to trust? You know, in the Bible, God makes promises. How can we know if he's willing and able to keep them? Maybe there are people here who've heard of God's promises and you've not come to a place where you trust them yet. Maybe you've never trusted God. Maybe you're in a place where you're facing some difficulties and challenges and you wonder, is God really able to keep his word? Our text this morning has one very important aim for us, and it's this: God wants you to be certain that you can trust him. He wants you to have full confidence that when he makes a promise, he keeps his promise, because the promise maker is a promise keeper. And the one great promise that our God has made to his people in all of history is that he would provide a way for people to be brought into God's family, to be made right in relationship to him through having their sins forgiven. And he has fulfilled this promise in Jesus Christ. And the work of Jesus Christ is certain. And the righteousness of faith can be yours. In our text today, it's almost like God's grabbing hold of us and he's saying, trust my promise. It's real. I do what I say I'm going to do. And that's because he's the one person who has infinite ability to keep his promises. How can you know if God keeps his promises? Well, one of the ways we can know is we can look back at history. And that's what Paul is doing this morning. He's looking back 4,000 years before this, our time. It's 2,000 years before his time. And he's going to survey what promise God made to Abraham and what relevance it has for us. So let's look at how this promise works. And this begins. We'll begin with point one. How does God's promise work? What is the nature of this promise that God makes to Abraham? Well, here's what it says. The promise that Abraham would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, faith is null, and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. Paul is explaining how the gospel actually is a fulfillment of the promise that was made to Abraham. And it works in the same way as it worked for Abraham. That is actually really good news for us here this morning. He's explaining how faith works in relation to the promise made to Abraham. In the previous section, Paul had explained, okay, the promise does not come by doing works, and it doesn't come by circumcision. Those things happened after Abraham believed the promise. Now he's showing them that we don't experience blessing through keeping rules. But what is this promise to Abraham? That he would be heir of the world. Notice that it says that he would be heir of the world. And how does God's promise work? Well, God chose Abraham. He was this nomad in the Iraqi desert over 4,000 years ago. And he chose him to be the father of his people. He appeared to Abraham when he was just a pagan out there in the desert, as far as we know. And in Genesis 12, God makes a promise to Abraham, and the promise had three parts: that Abraham would have descendants, he would have a land, and this final part, that he would be a blessing to all the earth. He was going to, through this man in the middle of the Iraqi desert, 4,000, he said, you're going to bless the entire earth. It's almost a ridiculous promise in some ways. And yet it says, in chapter 15, when Abraham had believed God and he trusted God, he actually left his homeland, traveled to the place where God promised to give him a land. And in Genesis 15, Abraham has a conversation with God, and he says, God, you know, you promised to give me descendants. You said you'd bless the earth through my people. But you know what? There's a small problem. I don't have any kids. And Eliezer is going to be my heir. He's going to inherit everything. My servant's going to inherit everything. And God makes a promise to Abraham, and Abraham believed God. Well, actually, what God does, he takes Abraham out of his tent, and he takes him out, and he gives him another visual age. He says, look up into the stars. And then he says to him, count all those stars. Count them. Now, we don't know if Abraham started to count them, but you know, there's over 1 billion stars in our universe. You know, it would take 32 years to count, just to count to 1 billion, and that's without sleeping. Earlier he told them, your descendants are going to be as many as the sands of the sea. He said, your descendants are going to be more numerous than the stars. There's billions of galaxies in the universe. He's saying your descendants are going to be so many. They're going to be all over the world. They're going to be greater in number than you can even count. And what is recorded in Genesis 15:6, this is this promise from God. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And then he goes on to elaborate further in Genesis 17, verse 4. Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of many nations. And this promise to Abraham is a promise that is a continuation of that promise to Adam, that he was going to have offspring that would crush Satan's head. And God is just continuing that promise, that God is going to give a saving message to the world so that all of the earth would know who he is and be brought into his family. Abraham believed this promise, and he received right standing with God. And this was before the law was given. It was before circumcision was given. And this is really good news for us, because this is how the promise works. It's important so that you and I can be certain that the promise is for us. He says this, for if it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. God's gospel promises are not to rule keepers. Because if it's by following the law, if it's by doing things that we earn our relationship with God, it says that the promise is void. It means literally it's been emptied. It has no value. The promise has been destroyed. It's been rendered ineffective. And God wants us to be clear how we receive this promise. The nature of the law is this: obey the law and I will bless you. But the nature of the promise is this: I will bless you. Believe my promise. I will bless you. Believe my promise. That's why Paul says, this is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise, listen to this, may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only the adherent of the law, but also the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, Scripture's clear, and Paul has already made the point, you can't earn your way to God. It's just not possible. The law only proves that we're guilty before God. And many have tried to earn their way to God, but God, our God is a holy God. And the law just proves that. And here you see the importance of faith. The gospel is the fulfillment of this promise that Abraham would be the father of many nations. And Paul is trying to help us to see that it is by faith that we receive that promise. The work of Jesus Christ opens the door to us receiving the promise of Abraham. God's promise was to make Abraham the father of many nations. Now that Jesus Christ has brought this righteousness that is apart from the law, when we look to Jesus, we receive his righteousness and we are brought into right standing with God. We're brought into relationship with him, and we receive that promise by believing. Believing that Jesus Christ did what we cannot do. So now, the bottom line here is that whether you are Jewish, one of Abraham's natural descendants, or whether you're not Jewish, whether you're from any part of the world, you can come from any faith background, any ethnic heritage, this promise is for you. That's what Paul's telling us this morning. This promise to Abraham is fulfilled by grace to all who place their faith in Jesus Christ. I remember when I was growing up in New York City, and I had many friends who were Jewish, and I didn't understand the gospel. I was brought up in a Roman Catholic background. I'd never really read the Bible. But when I understood that Jesus Christ actually made me a part of Abraham's family, I really began to appreciate the Old Testament and all that it had to say about Jesus, that God was going to bless the whole earth. And I saw for the first time that this faith is open to the entire world. That's the nature of the promise. It's open to all. It's by grace. And the promise maker is a promise keeper. So the promise is by grace, but the question remains, why do we trust the promise keeper? Why should we trust the promise keeper or the promise maker? The one who gave the promise. And Paul answers the question. He says, this is why Abraham trusted him. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist, in hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, so shall your offspring be. So why did Abraham believe? He'd not yet received anything except a promise, right? Earlier, when we said, you know, you have to trust the promise maker, you have to trust their ability and their character that they would keep it, the promise. Now, if I tell my son, I will pay your tuition for college next year, and I make that promise in good stead, but let's say I have some financial difficulty next year and I can't do it. I have a willingness, but I don't have an ability. I could also make a promise, I'm going to pay your tuition, and I could have the ability, but I might break my promise. I remember, I don't know if you ever saw the television show 24. It's this federal agent, Jack Bauer, who he would find himself in some very difficult situations. He came into some very difficult situations. And he would come with people, and someone would always be in this just impossible situation. And he would almost always look at them and say, I will get you out of this situation. I promise. And I remember my family and I, we'd watch it. We'd always just laugh when he said, I promise. Because only Jack Bauer could get you out of that situation. In real life, no one could get out of that situation. Or, you know, Bernie Madoff, he made a lot of promises. He ran a Ponzi scheme on Wall Street. And he told some friends that if you give me money, I'll give you double your money back. And he kept giving double their money back, lots of money. And returns were amazing. He was a hit of Wall Street. And so more and more people poured their money in. But when it came down to it, it was a house of cards. Because at the end, there was no substance behind his promise. You know, God's not like that promise maker. That promise maker was not faithful. Well, God promised Abraham that he would be heir of the world, the father of many nations, that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. That's a pretty big promise. Why would he believe him? Actually, Abraham had lots of reasons not to believe God, didn't he? He was almost 100 years old, and it says his body was as good as dead. I don't know if Abraham would like that description. His body was as good as dead. Let's be nice to older people, okay? His body was as good as dead. So he has one reason. He's not in that great shape. His wife, they've been trying to have kids for 20-plus years. And it says she's barren. In the Greek, it literally says her womb is dead. And there's no fertility clinics at this time. He looked at himself, and he looked at his wife. No reason to believe. And he believed. Abraham believed when he couldn't see the evidence for believing. There's not really an explanation for why he believed, but we do know the one in whom he believed. One commentator put it this way, Abraham let God be God. Maybe Abraham, we don't know what his knowledge was, but perhaps he knew the story of creation, and he knew the promise that had been given to Adam, that he would have offspring that would crush the enemy's head, and maybe he knew that this promise was the next installment on that promise to save mankind. Whatever his reasons were, it was a good investment because God is the only person who is infinitely capable of keeping his promise. And not only that, he never lies. He cannot lie. So Abraham believed the promise maker is a promise keeper. And God made this promise to Abraham, and he maintained his faith. Abraham maintained his faith even when he couldn't see the evidence. Look what it says here. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. That's why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham was able to rise above his circumstances. He was able to place his faith in the maker of the promise, despite the things in his life that suggested that God would not keep the promise. The only plausible explanation for this is his faith in the unwavering character and nature of God who keeps his promises. You know, I think this is a difficult passage because we try to think, okay, Abraham was looking forward and he didn't actually see the completion of this promise. We're looking back to Jesus Christ, but we still have obstacles to our faith too, don't we? We're promised we have eternal life, right? Yet we live in a world with death. We're promised we have victory over sin, and yet every day we face a battle with sin, don't we? It's not quite where we're going to be when we receive the fullness of the promise. And I think the purpose of this text this morning is God wants us to know that the promise maker is a promise keeper. He wants you and me to really trust him this morning. Paul has been teaching to these Roman Christians the amazing blessings of the gospel, which is the power of God for salvation to everyone who what? Believes, right? He's been teaching them about the power of God that is for the salvation of everyone who believes. And when we believe, we are brought into right standing with God. We're brought peace with God. He fills us with his Holy Spirit and makes us known to us that he is our Father and we are his children. And he promises to be there every step of the way. This is the fulfillment of the promise that God made to Abraham, that we would be his people and he would be our God. And we can trust him to be with us every step of the way. I remember a time in my life when, you know, when I was younger, I didn't really understand depression. I thought, why do people get depressed, you know? And I really never faced hardship. And I'm not comparing my suffering to suffering of many people around the world because I've never suffered to the point of shedding blood. And we have Christians who suffer even death around the world today. And there are others that suffer so much greater. But there was a point in my life where there was real disappointment. People had broken promises to me and things didn't turn out the way I had expected them. Things that I'd lived for seemed to be empty. And I was in a dark, dark place. I felt like there was no light at the end of the tunnel. Have you ever been there where your tank is empty? And you feel like there's nothing left. I couldn't stir up any youthful zeal. And I remember every day I would just open my Bible and I would just pray and cry out to God in simple faith. And I remember the morning when God just fulfilled his promise to me in a very real way. And it just made it real to me that I was his child. He didn't take me out of the circumstances. Friends, the circumstances didn't change. But I was able to, in those circumstances, know that God was with me. And that he was for me. And that he would never leave me and never forsake me. And that he had a firm grip on my life. I knew that the promise maker was a promise keeper. And my friends, this morning, you are not alone. No trials, no persecutions, no difficulties, no broken relationships, no illness will ever be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. In him, you are more than a conqueror. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when he makes a promise, he keeps a promise. He is unchanging, so he will never change his mind. He's not going to go back and say, okay, well, I didn't really mean it. He's everywhere. So you can't go someplace where he won't keep his promise, and you know what? He can keep his promise to you and to me and to everyone else at the same time. He's all powerful. So there's nobody who can keep him from keeping his promises to us. Our God is in the heavens, and he does what he pleases. He's in complete control. He's eternal. So he will never, ever stop keeping his promise. So let's trust him in our trials. The promise maker is a promise keeper, and he's worthy of trust. It says in our text that Abraham believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. Abraham trusted God when the evidence was not there. He would experience the birth of Isaac, but he would never see the fulfillment of this promise as we have seen it. The writer of Hebrews describes faith as the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And he describes all the saints looking forward. He says, Abel, Enoch, Abraham, and Sarah. And it says of them, they all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. We have received, brothers and sisters, the blessing of the promise of Abraham. Abraham was fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. You see that in the scripture there? He was fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. So, what's the big deal? I mean, what's the big deal? I mean, Abraham was fully convinced. We get in through faith. What's the big deal? Well, this takes us to our final point. And this is the big deal, is God's promise is for you. This promise is for you and me. And this morning, look at verse 21 and then on into verse 22. Look at it. You know, sometimes it's hard to apply a message. You say, you know, how are you going to close this? What are you going to say about it at the end? Well, Paul does it for us this morning. He applies this message for us in the text. In verse 21, he says this, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised, that is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised him from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered over for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Brothers and sisters, Abraham's faith in God resulted in his being made to have a right relationship with God. He was looking forward to the fulfillment of the promise. He was given a status that he had not earned. He was justified. But here's the reason that Paul is writing about this. He's explaining that God's purpose in justifying and making Abraham righteous by faith was so that we would understand the promise in Christ Jesus. It's not just for Abraham, but for those whom God would send his saving gospel message to in the future. This promise to Abraham was given to strengthen and deepen our faith, and the faith of anyone who would believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The promise that Abraham believed has been fulfilled in Christ, and it is in our Bibles here for all who would believe in Jesus Christ. Look what it says again, but the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him. Listen to that. It will be counted to you if you believe in him who raised him from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered over for our trespasses and raised for our justification. This is in our Bibles this morning so that you can be certain that you can trust God in the most important promise made to mankind. It's here for your sake, so you can know right standing with God. You know, there's going to be a lot of teaching that comes after this section of Romans 4, and we're going to learn about the benefits of our justification. We're going to learn about that we have peace with God, and that we're set free from the power of sin, and that God has made us his children. And all that teaching is ours because we have right relationship with him through what Jesus Christ has done. That's why it's this standing before God, it's the hinge on which our Christian life turns. And Paul wants us to understand it. It's through Jesus Christ. Our trespasses, every one of them was born on that cross. He took every one of your sins. He paid what you and I could not pay. He satisfied God's wrath. And if you believe this morning that God raised him from the dead, and you will confess with your lips that Jesus is the Lord, you can be in right standing with the God of Abraham. And how do we know? Well, he's raised Jesus from the dead for our justification. It's the proof. He did it. Jesus is no longer in the grave. Hallelujah. He's no longer in the grave. And that proves the power of God was able to be received in the body of Jesus, that his death was satisfactory to God. And now he's raised, and we, when we place our faith in him, have the righteousness of faith. You know, this Bible is reliable. Faith is under assault in our world today. But this story just shows how this whole book is a story of God's loving relationship with humanity. It holds together, friends. It holds together. And you can see how God planned redemption out in history. And we can place our faith. But you know, the reality is, we wait too, don't we? The promise that Abraham would be the father of many nations, it was partly fulfilled in the history of Israel. His descendants were as many as the seashore. And now it's partly fulfilled in Christ. We're the church. But it's going to be really fulfilled in Revelation 7, Revelation 20, when people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation stands before the throne of God. And they cry out together, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to his Lamb. Every nation, every tribe, that's when we'll experience it fully. Until then, like Abraham, we have to trust God. Sometimes when the evidence isn't really there for us that day or that week or that month or that year. And as far as the gospel going to all the nations, I don't want to be remiss. I just want to remind you, we still have some work to do on that score, don't we? There are still Jews and Gentiles around the world who need to know how to come into faith in Jesus Christ so they too can be God's children. And we too can worship them together. So let's keep that in mind as we go forward. I'd like to invite the band to come forward now. And just as we close, I just want to speak to two different groups. You know, if you've placed your faith in Jesus, this morning, the brokenness of this world is testing your faith, you can be certain the promise maker is a promise keeper. And I just want to invite you as we sing to remind yourself, God raised Jesus from the dead, and he was handed over for your trespasses, and that promise is yours. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You are his child. Jesus said, you know, he said this. He said, when I return, will I find faith on this earth? Let's, as we sing, let's return to the first love of Jesus Christ. And if you have never trusted in Jesus, I just want to invite you this morning. I remember when I first got saved, I knew none of this stuff. I'd never read my Bible. And when I started to read this stuff, I was just amazed at how the Bible held together. It's an amazing story of God's love. And if you're here this morning and you're not a believer in Christ, I don't think that's by coincidence or by accident. God is calling you to trust in Him. And I'm inviting you, believe that Jesus Christ was handed over for your trespasses and raised so you could be in right relationship with God and enjoy all the rights and privileges thereto appertaining. God is for you and He's with you. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are not just a promise maker, but You are a promise keeper. And we love You. We believe that You have fulfilled Your promise in Christ Jesus, and You're fulfilling it now as we go into the earth with Your gospel, making disciples of all nations. Lord, so we just say, Lord, again, we surrender to You. You're the cornerstone of our life. You're the one we trust in. We want to make You known in our lives. And so, Lord, I pray this morning for anyone here who is wrestling with the circumstances of their lives. I just pray You meet them again, Lord. Let them know how faithful You are to keep Your promises. Open their eyes to see that the promise maker is a promise keeper. For the glory of Jesus Christ, we pray. Thank you.